Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our morning service.
Good morning, everyone.
We're going to begin by singing, and Mission Praise 435 is Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. 435. To God in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we do come to you. In fact, we come to you and through you to the Father above. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to gather, to share just community one with another, but also to share in that wonderful divine community of Father and Son and Holy Spirit, a community that is marked out and characterized by love. Father God, we thank you the way in which you lovingly have been with us over these past days. We thank you for the ways in which you have spoken to us, spoken words of tenderness, of encouragement. Sometimes you've spoken words of chastisement and rebuke. Lord God, we have heard that voice within us, and we have been, well, we have had to make decisions about whether to listen to you, whether to turn and correct our path, or whether to continue on our way, whether to feel uplifted and encouraged by you, or whether to focus in on ourselves. Father God, thank you for the times when we've taken the opportunity to be lifted up, time to be feel loved, and yes, even connected. So Lord God, as we gather today, we pray that you would continue to speak into our hearts, Speak to direct and fashion our life. Speak, Lord, that we may know how we might better participate in the divine community with the Father, through the Son, in the power given by the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, as we lift up ourselves and our prayers to you, hear them, we pray, as we offer them in Jesus' name. And following his example, we further pray, as together we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Gosh, you're all spread about this morning. You're all over the place. Good to see you all. Who likes playing games?
Me.
Yay, me too. Me too. We were out visiting some friends last night and we were playing a board game. I love playing games. It's a great thing to do. And this morning I thought we might play a little game. And I've managed to get a couple of willing volunteers to participate in this game. And many of you probably have played this game before. And it's like this game here called Taboo. Ever played it? Oh gosh, you're missing out. Missing out on life. Well, participants, out you come. Here we are. So perhaps when you come early, you get to play the games. It's a very good, easy game. It's called Taboo. And the word taboo is an interesting word. It's all right, you're not needed for this one. Just two participants. It's all right. Oh, do you want to play? Do you want to play? Say yes. Yes, say, of course you do. Hazel put up to it. Brilliant. So, taboo is the game. And do you know what the word taboo means? It's a funny kind of word, isn't it? Actually, it kind of means no. It's not allowed. It's taboo. Not allowed. Okay? Not allowed. You get that one? Say, no, it's not allowed. Can't do that. That's taboo. Can't do it. And the thing is, the idea is that there are words that you can't say. So, in the game, it's very simple. We get a box of cards, and the cards have words on them. So, it's got a word at the top, and that's the word that you're trying to get your partner to guess. Okay, so you see the word at the top? Right, do you know what that is? Yeah, it says razor blade. It's what I don't use. Right, so, razor blade. But you've got to try and get your partner to guess the word. But you mustn't, and this is a taboo, you mustn't use the words down at the bottom. Okay, so it's quite hard because you've got to try and get them to say it, but you can't give them these clues. You can give them other clues, lots of other clues, but not the words that are here. Okay, so you come round here and we'll have a little practice, dead easy. So what I'm going to do, you're going to take a card first, you're going to be the guesser, he's going to ask, alright? Now the thing is, I've got to look over his shoulder because if he says the wrong word, alright, that's not allowed. So, are you listening carefully? Try to guess the word that he's trying to suggest to you. So, loud as you can so that everybody else can hear you.
Boat.
Boat, that's a good idea, right?
Person on a boat.
Person on a boat. Person on a boat. Think about the person on a boat, what we call them.
Person.
A A watchman, no, another one. Keep going, keep going, keep guessing, keep saying.
Kind of like a pirate, but not really a pirate.
Kind of like a pirate. Another word. Oh, I think somebody... sailor's the right word. So there we are. Can you try it? Can you have a go at trying one? Okay, see if you can get them to guess that boat, that one. Now, you can't say the words underneath it. Okay? So, how are you going to describe this to them? Oh, hard.
They live in a barn.
They live in a barn? Mm-hmm.
Sheep.
Sheep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you're in the right line. You're in the right line, but not there. Keep giving them clues. Keep giving them clues. White fur on this animal,
Sheep, goats.
Oh, goats, you got it, goats. Okay, excellent. Now, let's just try and take one each, and we'll see if we can get the congregation to guess. Okay, take another one. Right, so who wants to go first? You want to see, can you do that one? Oh, that's a really hard one. Maybe that's not a good one. Take another one if it's too hard. That's another one. Try the other side. Try the other side. Oh, that's easy. That's easy. Okay, let's try this one. This is for you. See your brains.
It squawks.
It squawks.
Duck.
Duck. Parrot. No.
Alarm, sort of.
Yeah, alarm. Oh, right, okay.
Geese,
cockerel. No.
Cuckoo.
Yes! Yes, cuckoo. Well done. Who said that? Yeah. Lynn. All right. She plays this game. Right, okay. Let's stay there. Stay there. Let's try another go. Try that one. Yes. Oh, that's a hard one for them. Right. This is... How are you going to describe this one? Oh, it's a hard one. Okay. They'll get it. Don't worry. They're really clever.
I've got a handle.
Oh, it's got a handle. They shout it out.
Door.
Good guess, but not the right idea. No, a flag. No, keep going. A bag. No, that's got a handle, but no. You have to give them more clues to get them on the right line, I think.
Teapot.
Yeah, try that one. The problem is, you see, there's a lot of words that he can't say. You see? And that's what's causing the difficulty here. So let's try it. You maybe have to think some kind of odd. It's got bits that come out the side. It's got a handle and bits out the side. And might be
a bicycle.
No, but who might use it? A pirate might use it. A pirate. With a patch. It's a sword. Is that it? No, not quite sword. It's close to a sword. A saber, a cutlass. It's maybe, is it as big as that? Small. Somebody said it. Dagger. See how hard this is? Do you know, the thing was, he couldn't say cloak and dagger. He couldn't say it was any kind of knife. He couldn't say murder. And he couldn't say weapon. And he couldn't even say sharp. See, it's really hard sometimes. Right, one last one. This is the last one this time.
Easy one.
Oh, this is dead easy. They'll never get it.
It lives in, like, mud.
Oh, it lives in mud.
In a garden.
No.
Someone's been annoying and they are this word in you.
Oh, you can't know, do guys. Oh, careful. You got almost there. Yay, bug, that's the word. Well done, guys. You were excellent. Can I sit down? Well done. You were going to We picked up another one there, which was magnet. And you couldn't say North Pole attract, repel, iron, or doors. And you see, for bug, you see, you couldn't say things like insect, or detect, or bed of bugs, tiny, or even computer. Couldn't even say computer bug. So you can see the problem. Sometimes when you're trying to say the thing that you want to say, or do, then there are taboos. And actually, it's the same with us as Christians. There are sometimes we want to say things, but you've got to be careful what you say and how you say it. Actually, in the Bible, it actually outlines some of the taboo words. It says, don't take God's name in vain. And that's why sometimes you'll say something like, God, but not in the right way, and somebody will say, oh, that's not a good idea, because that's kind of taking the Lord's name in vain, that's kind of taboo, not a good idea, because it's not respecting God. Or you might even say the word Jesus in the wrong way, and people say, oh, wait a minute, that's not the right thing to say, because that's kind of using it in a taboo way, not a way that's a good way. And there are other things that we would say are taboo. We don't want you to say bad words, or words that are insulting, or words that are unkind to people. They were all, we say as Christians, those are all taboo. No, no, no. Let's not do that. Let's speak nice words, loving words, encouraging words, helpful words, truthful words that are all positive. So that's what I'm going to challenge you to do, is watch what you say. Watch how you say it. And of course, it's not just for our young people. This is for all of us. Are we saying anything that God would think was taboo? Be careful, lips, what you say. We're going to sing a song, and actually, we've got to be careful about all sorts of things. This one is a very old song that I'm sure many of you will know very well from when you were at Sunday school, and it is, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, lips. Be careful, hands. Be careful not to go into the taboo areas. Okay, let's sing this together. Oh, it's on video, so better stand.
Mother of love.
going to hear now the praise group as they share with us the anthem for this morning, which is a lovely and fits in so perfectly today. Create in me a clean heart. Thank you very much. Well, we're going to hear our Bible reading now, which is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 59.
Verses 12 to 21. For our offences are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offences are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion, and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, fomenting oppression and revolt. Uttering lies our hearts have conceived, so justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets, honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance, and wrapped himself in zeal, as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth, or from the mouths of your children, or from the mouths of their descendants, from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all.
Father, you recognize and respond to the fact that you, well, took what was due to us. You took sin to yourself on the cross and dealt with it. You brought to us instead forgiveness and a new way. And so, Lord God, what's that worth? Well, it's worth everything. It's worth all of our heart and mind and soul. It deserves our life. So, Father God, you know, we do bring to you an offering this morning, but it is, of course, a token of that total giving of self. Father God, use our monetary gifts today for, well, for the running of this place, for the upkeep of the property, for the maintenance of ministry and of mission. And Lord God, as we give some of that money back to the central funds of the church for ministry and mission and other places, Lord God, our prayer is that it will be well and wisely used. Father God, we want that to be the case, not just simply for our money, but also for our time, that we would be wise in how we put that precious commodity to use. We thank you for the time that we set aside to worship, to give you honor and glory. We give you thanks for the time that we are able to join in community one with another in this place and in others to help one another. We give you thanks for participation in organizations and groups. And Lord God, we pray for those places, and we pray that you would be a blessing through them, that others would also come to know of the love that's available through Jesus. Lord God, this morning it was good as a community just to join with some of our young people in having a time when we reflect together, play games. Lord, how good that is. But also games with a purpose. And so we remember, as we do that within the Jam Club, as we do that within the Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade and in other ways, Father God, we thank you for those opportunities where we can pass on learning and good practice and the Christian way. And so, Lord God, we pray for all who lead us and lead youngsters. May they be an inspiration. Father God, we thank you for the ways in which we are able to take out your word to the world. We thank you for the proclamation of the simple things. Us speaking to our friends and neighbours. Taking out a message via social media. And Lord God, we often think of social media as such a negative thing. And it can be. But Lord God, we thank you for the way in which it can be used positively by your people and by churches to inform and to encourage. Lord God, we're in a world today where that really is in short supply. So many of our news stories are bad news stories. So many of the things we hear reported are of dispute and debate, which is unhealthy. And so, Lord God, we pray that we would be salt in this world, that we would be light in its darkness, that we would be ambassadors for you wherever we go and whatever we say. Father God, we know that that's so needed today. And we remember all who need to be encouraged, all who are feeling despondent, all who are going through hard and difficult times in their life, for whatever reason. And it may well be bereavement or illness. It may well be to do with work or family. It may be even just, it may be to do with the state of the world, the nation, the community. Lord God, whatever the situation, we pray that the one thing that will be there in the midst of it is a sense of you. A sense of you standing beside and standing with and standing up for. Lord God, we pray that your mighty power might be seen in this place, in this land and in this world in new ways to help the oppressed, the disadvantaged, the poor. And Lord, to bring that thing that we just heard of, truth and righteousness, mercy and goodness. So Lord God, as you hear our hearts and what that means for us, Lord God, respond to our prayers we plead. Because we plead them not in our name, but we plead them in and through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to sing 753 in Mission Praise, and it is When I Feel the Touch of Your Hand Upon My Life. It causes me to sing a song. Now, I think this is a very short thing, so we're going to sing it through, I think, a couple of times. 753, if I could look it up. Yep. This week is an important week. It marks the beginning of a special period in the spiritual life of many Christian churches, we're entering a time often referred to as Lent. Lent commences this week on Wednesday. I'm going to come back and look at what that's about in a few minutes. But before we get there, it's worth highlighting the fact that in many cultures, even the period running up to Lent is itself special. It's marked and is celebrated that way and has been over the centuries. For example, in Belgium, since 1394, the period running up to Lent, so the period we're in now, is one which is held very specially. In Brazil today, they host a four-day celebration in Rio de Janeiro. In Venice, in fact, there's a 12-day celebration running up to Lent. In Trinidad and Tobago, they actually have a day-long competition with calypso bands. That sounds a great way to get ready for Lent. And in the USA, most notably in New Orleans, there's a celebration known there as the Carnival or Mardi Gras. Interestingly, and perhaps helpfully in terms of understanding, the word carnival comes from a combination of Latin words meaning farewell to the flesh. Farewell to the flesh, which actually is quite ironic, isn't it? Since, well, Mardi Gras is well known when the desires of the flesh are not denied or bid farewell. Instead, they are lavishly indulged. It's interesting how sometimes things get turned on their head. So why the name Farewell to the Flesh? Why that origin? Well, because Carnival or Mardi Gras coincides with the last day before the fasting season that we call Lent. And Lent is a 40-day period where there is self-denial, where there is repentance. It was instituted as such by some of the people in the early church as a way of preparing Christians for Easter. So it begins, Lent itself begins with Ash Wednesday, the final day before then. Well, we sometimes refer to it as Shrove Tuesday. The word Shrove there, it's an interesting word as well, and it's a Latin word, and it means to prescribe penance. To prescribe penance. During the Middle Ages, the religious leaders would ensure that shriveners, priests, were available to hear the confessions of a multitude of sinners who had committed all kinds of iniquity during the carnival. So they were prepared, ready for Lent. In our culture, well, we go to town, don't we? Shrove Tuesday, we eat pancakes. The idea there, I suppose, is to use up all the ingredients that were not to be consumed during the fast period, which begins, I say, on the Wednesday itself. So what's this Ash Wednesday? Why all this kind of falderal? Why all this kind of much ado that goes on before it? Where does Ash Wednesday come from? Well, the first thing to say is that it doesn't come from the Bible. It doesn't. But some of the ideas for it do. Ash Wednesday has its origins in the early Christian church, somewhere we think between the 6th and the 8th centuries. Originally, the idea was that Christians, as a sign of their repentance, would sprinkle ashes on his or her head. In the Bible, ashes were always associated with humility and mortality, and with fasting and with remorse. So you can see that there was a kind of tie-up with some ideas in the Bible. If you'd sinned against God and you felt sorry about that sin and you were turning from that sin, so repenting of it, then in the Bible you would sometimes find people put ashes on their head as a sign of that sorrow and repentance. The ashes were to remind you that you were mortal and that you would eventually become ash after you die. We're only ashes, and we need to turn to God while we have this time of grace. That's the whole thought process. So during those early centuries, individual Christians in private would maybe follow that biblical example, put ashes on their head, a sign of their turning back to God. Eventually, of course, that became a public practice and was formalized by the church at the time. So instead of sprinkling the ashes on your head, ash itself would be rubbed onto your forehead as in the shape of a cross. It was then another kind of sign of repentance. We're also with a reminder of your baptism. So the cross, which had been put on, of course, in baptism with water, would be a reminder that yes, you had sinned, but actually there was a renewal, a washing away through Jesus. The ashes they used in that process had often come from the palm branches that had been used the Easter before and just kept for this purpose. Now, some Christian traditions have kept that practice, and others, well, haven't. In our church, that's not part of our tradition. It's not that we actually believe it, of course, to be wrong. It's not that at all. But it's just something that we felt we could probably do in other ways. It is valuable if you're doing it for the right reasons and you're not just doing it as a ceremony. Because it's not really important whether you have ashes on your forehead. What's important, I suppose this is the way in which we've always thought about it, what's important is what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your soul, not what is happening external to you. That doesn't do anything. But if your heart has to be right, doesn't it? For every Christian, ashes or not, Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of this season, this movement towards Easter. The 40-day span of time that is marked out there is really an invitation to consider Christ's battle with sin and with Satan that was waged for us and for our salvation. I mean, interestingly, I'd say, by the way, the 40 days, if ever you've got down to counting it out, what's the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, you'll discover it doesn't quite work out. And the reason is because Sunday isn't counted as part of Lent. And Sunday isn't a fast day. Because Sunday is always a time of celebration of resurrection. And so, in fact, it doesn't get counted in the 40 days. It's a miniature Easter. But the 40 days themselves, they represent something important. They represent, well, the time that Jesus went out into the desert. He fasted. He was tempted, we're told, for 40 days. It was a time of preparation for Jesus. A time when he battled temptations, when he went against what the devil was trying to get him to give into. And he emerged, of course, from that stronger and ready. And I suppose that's the idea for us, that Lent for us can be a journey with Christ. When we think about our temptations, when we think about our failures and sins, when we get a chance to say to God, sorry for what we have done wrong, and then to get onto the right path again. We can evaluate ourselves afresh in the light of God's word and to address some of those sins that perhaps we've become accustomed to. At the same time, receiving God's forgiveness and his strength to live the Christian life. So Lent serves as a season perhaps, to actively renew our desire to serve God and to be the Christian that God meant us to be. This morning I want to go on a very shortened journey, a Lenten journey, in that Bible reading. And it's Isaiah 59. It's a really interesting reading. We began it at verse 12. Our offences are many in your sight, it said, and our sins testify against us. And that is true, isn't it? I mean, if we were just to count the sins that we had committed, even in just 1 week, sins, of course, we ought to remember, are not just our deeds, but our thoughts as well. And not just the things that we do, but also the things that we didn't do but ought to have done. They're also sins. And if we were to account all of them, then our offences would be many. In fact, day after day, the total would mount, wouldn't it? It would mount to hundreds and thousands of sins. Isaiah says, our offences are ever with us. We acknowledge our iniquities. And that's the key phrase. We acknowledge our iniquities. So length of time, usefully, for us to look back at ourselves and to acknowledge that there are some things that really do need to be sorted out and seen to. There are things about me and things about you that are just not perfect. Things that need to be changed, things that need to be adjusted, things within our attitudes as well as our lifestyles. Listen to Isaiah describe some of those things that he sees that are wrong. He talks of rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on God, fermenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. Now you may well have read those and thought, no, I'm okay. Those are not the sins or the problems that I have in life. But that's not the point. The point is, what are the sins that we have? And we need to ask ourselves those hard questions. What are my sins? Where am I not so Christian in my life? What kind of person am I? Am I loving? Do I show that in my words and my actions? Am I patient? Do I really love God more than anything else in my life? Do I make sacrifices for Him? Am I peaceful? Or do I like to fight to assert my will over other people? What kind of person am I? Where are my weaknesses? Where are my sins? What do I need to get better in my life? This stock taking, and that's what it is a necessary part of repentance. The first part, really, of Lent. To look at ourselves and to recognize and to name our sin. And then comes the second part, which is, instead of looking at ourselves, it's to look away from ourselves and instead to look to Christ. And Isaiah does that here. He says, the Lord looked and was displeased and there was no justice, and he saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. But before Jesus became a man, he looked over the world and saw all our sin. He was appalled at what he saw. No one to intervene. And so Christ did this himself. It says, so his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. So we hear there about Christ back in the Old Testament. And we hear about the battle gear that Christ wore for us, putting on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation, put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. It's interesting when you think about Christ and how he is pictured. What do you see as he goes into battle on our behalf? Well, there he is, with righteousness, salvation, zeal, truth. He would take vengeance against Satan for all the evil done in the world. Judgment Day is also spoken about in those verses. It says, according to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their dues. This is really reference to those who refuse to repent of their sin and turn to Christ. On Judgment Day, Christ will speak to those people some very harsh words for their rejection of him. On that day, it says, everyone will see Christ's glory. It says, from the west, men will fear the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord will drive along. It's an interesting picture in these days when we see of floods and of flowing rivers and nothing can stand against it. So the Lord will come. And what about those who do repent? Who will take a look? Those who will take a look at themselves, who acknowledge their sin, who will turn to Christ for forgiveness and for the help that they need to live the new life. What about that? Well, then it says there, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and those in Jacob who repent of their sin, declares the Lord, Christ will come to you, your Redeemer, and he will grant to you salvation forever. So, isn't that wonderful? Another way of thinking about this idea of sin is in Lent is to think about some spring cleaning for our soul. We look deep within, we acknowledge our problems, we look to Christ who has won the battle for us, and we receive the forgiveness that we need. The forgiveness that Jesus won on the cross for us. And we are renewed. We are cleansed. We're created. The new heart that the praise group was talking about, create in me a clean heart. Renew us. Lent, therefore, becomes a time when we grow, or we can grow, in our appreciation of all that Christ has done. Not only do we become more aware of our sins, we become more aware of just how much Christ loves us, that he would do all that for us, above all. The last part of Lent is leaving the sin behind. Quitting, if you like, the sin we have acknowledged in our life. Now, interestingly, some of you may well have at some point have given up smoking, for example. And it's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it, if you've done that? Or if you maybe tried and failed, you know exactly how difficult it is. And it's the same with sin. It's very difficult to quit, to give it up, to leave it behind. But it actually is for our benefit that we're told to do that. So as we enter into this period of Lent, over these next 40 days, there is something for us to do. I mean, people talk about, what are you going to give up for Lent? And people talk about all sorts of kind of silly things, I suppose, and maybe not so silly things that they're going to give up. But maybe one of the things I want to encourage you to do is to give up half an hour, give up 20 minutes, and read some of the Bible. Why not read half a chapter a day from the book of John? It's a wonderful book of the Bible. Half a chapter, it's not much, is it? It's not much at all, but it will take you 40 days to do it. Half a chapter a day for 40 days. Read the verses slowly. Think about the words that you're reading. Use them to evaluate who you are and what Christ is calling you to become. That's a wonderful thing to do over Lent. But are you strong enough to do that? Half an hour. Give up half an hour a day to give it over to the Word of God. Think of your sin and to rejoice in Christ's forgiveness. So may God strengthen you through his word in this season, that he might be preparing you for all of the joy that lies ahead for all of us at Easter. But we begin to make the preparations now. Before I finish and pray, we're going to just listen to a little bit of a video. It's called A Clean Slate, because of course this is what I'm talking about. The preparation being cleansed, renewed and remade.
If only I could go back and change some things. Set things straight.
I wish I had a do-over.
I've made choices. I've lost out. I've wished 1,000 times I could go back and try again.
It's hard not to imagine what might have been.
If I had just stopped to think.
If I had just done as I was told.
If I hadn't thought I knew it all.
Why didn't I just take a few deep breaths?
Took 1 second to listen.
Maybe my life would be better.
Maybe there wouldn't be such a high price to pay.
Things would be different now.
I wouldn't have so many regrets.
But is everything lost?
Can I just get a do-over?
Is there a way back to new beginnings?
Because regret can mean a new beginning.
When it's given to the one who produces a repentance.
A repentance that delivers me from my grief.
The one who takes my mistakes.
And somehow redeems me through them.
Who tells me I'm not the sum total of all my regrets?
He tells me not to look back.
Because there's nothing there to see.
I am not my mistakes.
He is faithful and just to forgive me.
I just have to ask him.
And then I can look straight forward.
Forget what is behind me.
And strain towards what is ahead.
And walk away with all regrets erased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Every day I'm given a clean slate.
A clean slate.
I get a clean slate.
Heavenly Father, we can get so caught up in our mistakes. Yes, Lord, you want us to acknowledge and to turn, but also to know through Jesus of the great forgiveness that is available. Father God, thank you for this message this morning, that we can be cleansed and renewed and remade for the life you have given us. So help us to do the work and make that happen through Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to finish by singing in the Mission Praise 296, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And in response to that love, live your Christian life well. Go with the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit this day and evermore. May God's blessing go with you. We sing together.